This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah. This is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. And as always, on my right hand side, I got
El Alcalde, Profesor, Ejecutivo, Vladimir Camaño.
There it is. And on my left hand side, I got
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
There it is. It's right good here. To have the fucking triumvirate. Back in the building, back on the mics.
We are back.
You know?
We are back.
Yeah.
Always good to be back. Some of us ain't make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we here.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a blessing.
For everybody out there listening, we appreciate you.
Because you made it too.
Because you here too.
And you chose to listen.
You know what's crazy?
What's crazy?
You know what's crazy? Speaking of that, I just heard for the first time this song by this dude, William Donner. William, he had a song. It's like, hold on a second. I gotta write it down. I was like, "Love is the message." God, what was it? Be thankful. Be thankful for what you got. William Devon.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I talk about. I was listening for the first time, and I was. This song is deep, man.
It's a banger.
Like, oh, it's a 70s song.
Yeah.
It sounds like a line. You got a line from it. A quotable.
Be thankful. I'll tell you right now. Be thankful for what you got. Let's see here.
Uh-huh.
It's deep, man. He says, just because you don't got a big Cadillac. I think it's about the times. It's about materialism and still having dignity, even though you don't have what you know the commercial market wants you to have.
Right.
So he says though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, gangster white walls, TV and tent in the back. You may not have a car at all, but just remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall.
All right, no doubt.
Sound like an affirmation.
You know what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't got no big Benz or no brand new Jordans, you can still get in the conversation. Be thankful we here.
Thankful you got SoundCloud.
You know what I mean?
iTunes.
And an internet connection.
And some nice headphones.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Apparently, yeah, he was a dude that kind of put gangsterine into the cultural like lexicon, I think.
Really?
Right.
What's his name? William Devon?
William Devon, the song is famous as hell. I had no idea.
Put it on the page.
I'll put it right now.
You know another grateful
what's
ass
that?
Song?
What's that?
The Gift of Life by Teddy Pendergrass. You ever heard that shit?
Oh hell yeah!
You know what I'm talking about?
That's a tough one.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
We'll put that up there too, man. We out here trying to be great. So, shit is going all right when motherfuckers is looking for
well, you
cues.
Know.
Hey.
No, but you know, Teddy had a song called Joy. He had a whole album called Joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Teddy wasn't messing around.
Teddy was a bad motherfucker.
You know who good for all that shit?
Who?
You know what I'm saying? Curtis Mayfield. His whole catalog is a quote.
What's your go-to? Which one of your favorites?
I mean, I don't necessarily have a favorite, but I could fuck with Curtis all the way across the board. The Impressions, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Superfly album, you know what I'm saying? That Get On Up, even before Kanye used it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was a definite go-to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He just got that, you know what I'm saying? His it's just like his street intelligence was high as well as his intelligentsia. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
It was like he had both sides of the game covered in a slick way, you know what I mean? And then the music was dope. So Curtis Mayfield, he good for all that. I mean, my whole shit framed up around Curtis Mayfield.
Really?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm like modern day Curtis and shit.
Really? In what way?
Nah, I'm just saying.
Just
understanding life around you and observing that shit and being able to put it in a way in your own mind that makes sense of it from both sides of where you from and where you going, you know what I mean? So just being able to observe that shit and look at it and be a student of life, you know what I mean? And be able to find gems and shit where, you know what I'm saying, you might not necessarily think to look.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
I'll say this too, man. Like, and again, what I'm saying is entirely subjective.
But
the soundtrack of my childhood definitely lends itself to a less romantic sensibility, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And I feel like it affects manhood. Like, I was talking to my boy, and he's 50 years old from New York, right? 54? Mm-hmm. And we started comparing songs, what we grew up on. And his stuff was like, you know, the Ohio Players, Love is the Message, you know. And these are songs that framed his childhood. And he was like, what about you? And I was like, damn, you know, shit, Tupac, Nas, you know what I mean? Wu-Tang, and then a bunch of merengue in between, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it definitely affected, I think, like, my masculinity, what I thought what I was supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know, you had to be hard.
Yeah. Back then, cats was a little vulnerable. They would tell you their feelings and shit. Like, back then, you listen to a lot of, you know, you listen to Curtis. Right. You listen to a lot of them cats. They were a little bit more transparent. It wasn't as hyper-masculine. However, I'll say this. I'm not the biggest Tupac fan, but I've been meaning to dip back into his catalog because there's been a lot of people talking about how poignant he could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to find some of that. So if you know any Tupac records that are particularly poignant, or he's talking some crazy, some deep shit, let me know.
Tupac spoke in an everyman voice, you know what I'm saying? So it don't go necessarily crazy deep with, you know what I'm saying, with the vocabulary words, but he always struck it from the heart, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was more sensitive than all of them, really, as far as hip-hop is concerned. In that era, like, if you were framing up around Tupac, it's a lot of sensitivity in Tupac. He go off the rails sometimes, you know what I'm saying, and be on his, I'm in the club and I'm about to, you know what I'm saying, get with all the chicks. But at the same time, he had, you know, he gonna definitely, everybody know his mama's song. Everybody know his sensitivity towards women in the community. You know what I'm saying? Brenda had a baby, keep your head up, and all that type shit. So he definitely had a lot of sides to him, and he was like one of those rappers that had a song for all those sides. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That appreciated his dead homies. Like, you know what I mean? It's like crew love out there, but like going to the point of, you know, on a I Ain't Mad At You, where, you know, your boy grow up, start getting grown, and got a lady and a baby now. You know what I'm saying? You just had to let him go and be like, I ain't mad at you. Like, niggas wasn't talking about shit like that. You know what I mean? So Pac explored sides of sensitivity and emotion that a lot of rappers didn't cover. But you know what I'm saying? It wasn't necessarily on a jazz beat with a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, crazy vocabulary words. It was just straight at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got to revisit this catalog. I mean, I'm familiar with the hits and things like that, and I've seen it. But there's the way that people are, like, taken with Pac shit. Similar to the way I fuck with Big. Mm-hmm. I want more than just the obvious shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm asking people that, you know, some of the B-sides, some of the deep cuts that most people don't know about. I'm trying to research into that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the difference kind of like to me with Big, he was, you know what I'm saying, had the artistry with it, you know what I'm saying? So his lyrics had a lot more witty artistry to it, you know what I mean? Pac was coming, like, he just poured it all out on the paper, you know what I mean? And then, you know, you got to appreciate stuff like that. Like, you know, sometimes you'll hear Pac and he'll say some shit that you wouldn't have thought to say, that you may have felt. Like, damn, I wouldn't have never said that out in public, but Pac will go ahead and say it. You know, I was on the radio in Florida, and, you know, my man, you know, Spud, had a boy of mine, Spud Eastwood, down, he from Jacksonville, Duval, and he had a radio show, came on 6 o'clock, and he was kind of like Pac in a way where when he was on the radio, he didn't speak like a normal disc jockey or radio personality. He kind of spoke more to, like, specifically to the people, you know what I'm saying? Like, he might get on there and it's like, yeah, this record right here for all my baby mamas out there, you know what I'm saying? I know you working real hard, struggling, trying to keep food in your baby mouth, you know what I'm saying? If nobody don't love you, Spud Eastwood love you, you know what I'm saying? So he'll do shit like that. And when it came time for me to manage the station, people would always come up to me and be like, oh, yo, I fuck with that Spud Eastwood. You know what I'm saying? Like, down there crying because he's saying things that people don't normally say at that platform. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it it made me get a better appreciation for what Pac was doing, because it was kind of like the same type of thing. And but in this case, you could actually see a real person, you know what I'm saying, talking to you about another person that you know, but in a way that's way beyond how you took it. So, you know.
That's what's up.
It's ways of communicating things that, you know, it just ain't regular, but it don't sound lofty.
Absolutely.
So.
Vlad, where were you at this weekend?
Oh, so this weekend, I was in Los Angeles this weekend, but the last week prior, I wasn't able to make the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I ended up, I was in San Antonio the week before that. I was doing the River Center Improv in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was interesting, man, because I was in San Antonio, and it was weird because the majority of people that came to the show, the majority of people that are in that town, mm-hmm. at least where I was at, are not from San Antonio.
Interesting. What, are they in military or?
It was a combination of everything, dude. You had some foreigners there. You had some people from within Texas, some people outside of Texas. Uh-huh. I had very few people that were from San Antonio at the show.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was in downtown San Antonio, which is called the River Center.
Okay.
And they have this long river, like a canal type of thing, like in Italy, those canals.
Right. The Riverwalk.
And they have Riverwalk. Have like shops and restaurants and hotels, and it goes on for like a long time. People come just for that. It's like a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
So it's weird, you know, America's weird like that. Like, it's just amazing to see that. You go somewhere where you think is like, oh, I'm gonna go do some local show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had people from everywhere in that space. And it was spring break, so people were coming to San Antonio for spring break.
Oh wow.
Interesting.
It was weird.
Was it wild? Was it calm? Or,
no, it was like families, families coming out for a spring break. Like, they would bring their high school kids out, or it wasn't like college students going crazy, you know?
Oh, okay.
It was like families with their sons and daughters and grandparents. It was a real family, like a real family vacation place, which I had no idea about.
Mm.
Were you surprised by the fact, because this bugged me out, the Riverwalk, there's no guardrails by the river. Like, you can just dead ass fall in that shit.
Yep.
I ain't like that. I don't like that shit at all.
You always got the anxiety. When
I can't swim
without the safety rail.
When I get around some water, like, because you could drown in that bitch. And it's nothing to stop you from drowning. You know what I mean? And that was the first thing I was struck by. I was like, oh shit, this shit, first of all, this shit's kind of deep. And there's not one piece of guardrail. It is go at your own risk type shit.
So you just stay
yeah,
back.
Yeah, it's weird. Like,
I stayed back.
Like, if you and I were
go ahead.
No, like, if you and I were joking around, I accidentally push you could just literally fall right in there, you know?
No, it's me. It's easy. First of all, because Ali, like, first of all, you got to realize the Riverwalk, the sidewalk is narrow as a motherfucker, too. So it's narrow as shit, and then it's like this, and there's people, sometimes it can be busy. So you got to, you know what I mean, as you negotiate your way around, you like, yo, I dead ass do not want to fall in fucking San Antonio Riverwalk looking crazy. Did you go to the Alamo?
So the Alamo's even weirder, man, because as you know, Damien, Ali, have you been to San Antonio?
Mm-mm.
So the Alamo is literally right in the heart of, like, commercial San Antonio.
Yeah, it's right around the corner from the
mall. You got all kinds of... Yeah, it's like the mall's right there. You got a Ripley's, believe it or not, across the street.
Right.
It's weird. It's the weirdest historical building I've been to.
Yeah, it's a little bugged out.
It's bugged out. It's like a weird cross section between what America has become and what I guess what it looked like back in the day.
yeah.
So that was odd, man. And literally, you just walk right in there. I walked in, walked around,
mm-hmm.
saw the Alamo. You know, people have different takes on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird watching, like, different ethnicities walking. You got the Mexicans, you got the Latinos, you got the white people, you got the black people.
Right.
And they're all having separate conversations as they're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, I mean, what'd you think? I thought it was weird.
I thought the whole thing was a little weird. I still don't know if I truly get the idea of it. I understand the legacy of it. It felt like aggressive gentrification to me. It did.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's definitely dropped in the middle of everything else. Like, because the Alamo looks old, antiquated, and it's you know, like you said, it looks like the past. But then right across the street is all these booming businesses. Right in front of the Alamo is a dude in a Power Rangers outfit dancing around trying to get tips. Like, the shit just looked a little out of place. But at the same time, when you go in there, they take it, it's presented in a way that they're serious about this. Like, you, all of that that you saw, and, you know, you take your mind out of it, this something heavy happened here. Like, it feels heavy the way, like, there's like a hushed kind of silence. When I was there, it was like a little silence amongst people. It wasn't, I didn't see any, like, tour guide saying, hey, and this is that. It was kind of everybody just explored amongst yourself. There was one little place where you could watch a movie or whatever. But outside of that, it was one of those things. It was one of those things, you go in there and if you by yourself, you're going to be by yourself throughout the whole thing. You take it in and you leave. I didn't see much talk. I didn't see much communication, much dialogue. What you think?
It was weird because I'm still trying to get information on it, because to your point, for, as I understand it, and I got to read more, because mind you, I was in the midst of I was writing some stuff, and I literally just swung through the Alamo. I took a break. I went to get some food, and I walked through it.
Right.
But the brief information I got was that, and again, I could be wrong, so just take this as a surface conversation.
I could definitely be wrong as well.
the Mexicans were there.
Right.
Americans took over.
Right.
Mexicans took it back over, right?
Right.
And then America took it back.
Right. That's what it sounded like to me.
And it made it seem like, and again, this is me just looking from the outside, like it was a very pro-American conversation, like how America won back the Alamo.
Absolutely.
This is America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's like in what used to be Mexico. Texas was Mexico,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it ain't no more.
But you know what? Even on top of that, I didn't see nobody outside protesting it, which is very American,
no, not at
too.
All.
Like, if there's another, like when you go see where Kennedy got shot, uh-huh. There's a guy out there selling the Zapruder film, right? There's people, there's them little side businesses you can make, the counterpoint business, right? And to that point, if it is the American story, being so close to Mexico, you figure it'd be some Mexicans out there like, nah, fam, it didn't go down like that.
Son, nigga need this work, man. Nigga ain't trying to protest and fuck up the work, get sent back.
I don't know.
Keep it moving, man. They got the little borders drawn, and it's done. You know, maybe one day they might come back and knock the wall down and take it back. But at this point, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
It's over. I don't know. It's interesting. And they got the Davy Crockett Hotel maybe down the block.
Yeah.
It's very enterprising. But anyway,
it's definitely a cool city. You know, I recommend it if you got like, you know, you got a partner, you guys together, like, it's a cool little weekend because of the Riverwalk. Go shopping, have some food, check the city out. You got the Alamo. And then I went to a food spot. It's called Sweet Potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure.
And it was banging, dude. Yeah, it was good. Apparently, Corey Holcomb goes there all the time, too, when he plays the River Center.
How'd you find out about it?
So I went online. You know, I've been doing the Damian Lemon system of foodism.
Oh, get your Yelp on.
I get my Yelp on, and I filter by reviews. Mm-hmm. You know, not by proximity,
right,
by
right.
reviews, uh-huh. reviews and stars. Mm-hmm. And this place called Sweet, I think it was called Sweet Yams. It's all organic, you know, locally grown food. And it was really good, man. I got the salmon.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what it is.
So,
yeah.
Sounded like a great American weekend.
It was a great American weekend.
Oh, man.
D was also in D.C. You were in D.C., right?
I was in D.C. I was in America as well the week before last. Shout out to D.C. Shout out to all the people that came out to the shows. We did some shows at the Comedy Draft House out there. That shit was cool. Shout out to Tim Miller, Paris Lachey. They opened up. It was a good time. We had a good time out there. D.C., while I was out there, shout out to Cam. He's a listener. He heard that I was going to D.C. He works at the National African American Museum of Arts and Culture.
You got the plug?
The Blacksmith Sony. Oh, I got the plug. I got the plug. Yeah. He said it.
Shout out to Cam.
Yeah. First of all, Cam say he know you, too. So we'll talk about that in a second. He know you through some people. We'll talk about that.
What up, Cam?
Yeah. But Went to the Black Museum. Uh-huh. That shit is wow. That shit is intense, B. That shit is better
than Alamo.
Oh, it's way more. First of all, you might not be able to get in. You got to know somebody.
That's what I'm saying. You got to plug.
That shit got a line outside. So crazy. It looked like it's like a club. It's a lot going on. I called it the Busch Gardens of Black Struggle and Celebration, because it's going to take you for a ride. It's going to bring you through there. Now, this is the Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Smithsonian, they got receipts. They fuck with the real. So it's real everything. Slave, like, boat wood and shackles and everything. So you go there, and I'm sure if you've never seen a photo of it, it's an interesting looking design, but it's actually 10 floors.
Oh, wow.
The whole building's 10 floors. 5 floors are underground. So when you go in there, if you take the tour, the first thing you do, they get on the elevator, and the elevator's a glass elevator. It's like today. And then you go on this elevator, you go down, and you descend into the darkness, and it's going years and years and years back until you're
in, like, a slave ship?
Oh, yeah. Oh, bring it down. No. Yeah. It gets real. So we go in. It's not a full on. Yeah, there's a part where it's slave ship, because, you know, again, the Smithsonian.
I thought the elevator descends into the bowels of a ship.
It descends into the bowels of the museum, which is the slave
museum.
The whole ship.
I thought like when you get out, you inside a motherfucking ship.
You damn near. But before you do that.
That shit freaking.
Oh, yeah, no, dude, it's going to be it's immersive. So when you get there, first thing they tell you, listen, if you need to use the bathroom, go ahead and use the bathroom now, because it's about another bathroom. It's a whole mile from here.
Wow.
It's a lot of walking in the Black. It's a lot of walking. No. So be on point. Bring some comfortable shoes. Mm-hmm. We go through the whole thing. I mean, the shit is amazing. It's just like any Smithsonian. So they got, it's like if somebody scrapbooked your entire life or your cultures, like they just scrapbooking little things and then they put it in context. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a hoarder's dream. You know, when you hoarding, you're like, oh, I'm going to keep that because this shit means this. But they got little plaques and it's well put together. I mean, they taking you through, you know, they taking you through slavery. They tell, it's breaking down all of the European countries, how many slaves they took. How many, and they had the insurance record, so you could see how many slaves boarded the ship versus how many slaves got off the ship, shit like that. Portugal seemed to take the most slaves by far. I didn't even know that. Then they taking you through, you know, Jim Crow. There's this one thing where they recreated Emmett Till's funeral, where you go through, like, the funeral home and look at the casket. Like, I mean, there's parts of the shit that's super heavy. Then, you know, you get to Obama. You know what I mean? You get your Obama moment. They actually pepper Obama throughout.
Right. Just to keep you going.
Just so they can make his way through. But they got, like, Oprah's, you know, her studio. And it's tons of, it's, like, you need a couple days in there.
What's the hip-hop look like in there?
Hip-hop is not bad. The hip-hop is not bad.
Who they got?
I was a little disappointed in the fact that the turntables, they didn't have no 1200s.
Wow, what they have?
They had
pre-1200s?
They had one that was some Technique pre-1200s, which is cool. Then I think they had some Newmark something. So I don't know about that. But other than that, what did they have hip-hop wise? They had some cool stuff. They had this big ass Public Enemy banner. They had this thing on, like, women of hip hop. It's deep. They're actually, what Cam's saying, they're trying to do a little bit more with the hip hop. Like, they're still, like, as big as it is, it's still building. There's still stuff that they got to add on to and things of that nature. But one of the things they have a cafeteria. And it's cool. It's a cool idea. They got a cafeteria. They took one of the more prominent Black chefs in DC and had her curate Black cuisine throughout the U.S. So, like, you go to Louisiana, some Creole. You go here, you might go to Miami. They might have a conch situation, like, you know, regional cuisine. And that was fly, because it was like, oh wow, this is interesting.
And you can eat that stuff.
Yeah, you buy it, you eat it. There's different little
sections
and things like that with people cooking different things, and it's curated. Like, yo, this is Louisiana stuff over here.
You ate in there?
Yeah, I ate in there.
What you
and have? What I have? I had the. Did I have a chicken? Yeah, I had some.
What region?
I went to Alabama. I had some some barbecue chicken, but with white barbecue sauce, because I wanted to see what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
with some macaroni and I forget what else, but this is the thing. The macaroni. And me and Ken, we talked about this. The macaroni.
It wasn't Smithsonian worthy.
Was it not for the Black Smithsonian? You know what I mean? Like this, if we, because they could get everything else. They got slave wood. They could get
they
a black woman
real mac
to put
cheese.
Her foot in some macaroni and cheese. So beyond that, it made my review seem reductive. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, the Black Smithsonian is amazing. But the macaroni,
regular.
Yeah, it's regular. But other than that, I mean, you need to go. You no definitely doubt, need no to go get you some tickets. It's worth seeing.
I'm gonna holler at Cam.
I'm gonna put you in touch. Go ahead.
Was there a comedy section like Richard Pryor?
Yes.
Bill Cosby, things like that.
Yeah, they had a comedy section. Richard Pryor was covered. Dick Gregory was covered. I want to say Bill was in there too, because I wanted to see if Bill was in there. Martin, I want to say there might have been some Chappelle coverage. You know, he's a DC native.
Was there a comedy jam in there?
This is the thing about it. I don't want to say what was or was not in there, because when I tell you, you need at least 3 or 4 days to really see everything, and it's overwhelming. It's like, it's ridiculous. Like I told you, it's 10 floors. And it is extensive. You know what I mean? So I don't want to say there's not. I didn't see certain things.
Right.
You know, but it's worth your time. It's definitely worth your time. And if you're going to go, carve out at least 4 hours. Like anything else, is selling yourself short. It's not even worth it. Like it's a whole afternoon situation.
Mm-hmm. But indeed, what was your attire? What was your attire going in? Did you have like a certain type of t-shirt, or you just went regular?
No, I went regular. I was, you know, I felt like just being black was enough.
Okay, you didn't have like a Freddie Gregor t-shirt or something like that.
No, but I did notice that like. You wear your black shit to the black museum.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a lot of all black, a lot of Tams, a lot of Kente, a lot of ebony covers, silk screened onto t-shirts. It felt
so. You bring a little bit of your own collection
absolutely
to the museum.
Right, right, right. Okay. They ain't got this. It's one of those. It was so black. I felt like I was going to run into somebody I knew.
You didn't?
Nah, not really. I mean, not like not new personally.
When you get around a lot of black people, you definitely feel like it's gonna be somebody.
Like,
you know,
I know somebody. I know
somebody up in here. You probably did. You should have looked on the ground.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm looking at the gram, I always see a bunch of the people I know at the same place that don't know each other.
Right.
Like, damn, I just saw such over there.
Maybe I should
connect them. Nah.
Yeah. That's a weird moment because it's like. It's a thin line between, it's not stalking because you don't know this person. It ain't organic. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, listen, I searched this hashtag and I seen that you were here.
Not even that you searched it. It's just kind of like you might be scrolling and you see, like last week, I seen about 4 people in Paris.
People that you know already.
People that I know that I already know.
Okay, I thought you were like, new people.
Yeah, I see such and such here, and then, oh, such and such there. They don't know each other. They from two different parts of the world.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, sometimes I think, you know, because I'm a connector.
Right.
I think maybe I should put them together. Then sometimes I'll be like, nah.
What made you say nah in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, because it's just, you know, it's you got to start explaining too much.
Okay.
You know, it's just a lot of explanation. If I was there.
Right.
Then, you know what I'm saying, it'd be different. But, you know, you sitting home in Brooklyn on your phone, and you're like, oh, shit, hey, such and such, you should meet such and such. They over at such and such.
Let me ask you this. Because it is a lot of explaining. I guess it depends on what the explanation is and how it relates to you. Because how apt are you? You on vacation, overseas somewhere, whatever, you're kicking it and shit.
Uh-huh.
And you get an email because your phone ain't really working. So you get an email, you get back to the hotel, you get an email. Hey, Ali. Friend of a friend is out there. You know, I think you guys are cool.
It depends.
How, but like, what's the percentage?
It depends on what, you know what I'm saying, who first is who the plug is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How much respect you got for the, you know what I'm saying, the one making the request.
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying, if it matches up to what you got going on.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? What I do a lot, though, if I see somebody in a town where I know a lot, and I know a lot of people, I always reach out and be like, yo, if you need something out there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let me know. A lot of times, you know, they never hit you up and say they need something. But sometimes when they do,
right,
it, you know what I'm saying, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if people come to New York, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people always put people with me because I'm in New York.
Uh-huh.
Or if people come to the Casablanca in Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying? Hey, my man going to be at the Casablanca tonight.
Come through.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's kind of like, it's just one of them things. I deal with life in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes it's just way far-fetched. Especially if it's not people who I know work like that.
Right.
Like, industry people, you kind of know kind of work like that.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, my man's out there. He can, you know, man, he got the such and such with the such and such then, you know.
And they probably tend to be a little bit more exploratory because unless it's a vacation. That's why I was saying if it's a vacation, it's different than just being in the market for some work-related shit.
Yeah, but 9 times out of 10, these people be out there on some work-related shit. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't disturb my vacation. They laid on the beach, unless they're in Bermuda.
Then you'd be like, yo.
Yeah.
You know, go, I run that shit.
Go holler at my people over here.
Holler my man Bloomberg.
You know I can make your vacation a little bit better.
That's where Bloomberg go, right?
Isn't Bloomberg go there every weekend.
You ever seen him out there?
Nope. That's another kind of rich.
He got his own beach.
I ain't even on the first level of rich. So,
you know what I'm saying? He just jumped rich. He go from the subway. You might see me there, but after that, I'm out of here.
You know what I'm saying? That's just because I'm doing it.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah, I got a few questions, man.
All right, but you know what? Unless these questions are about Blue Apron, we're going to have to hold for a second because I want to talk about Blue Apron, man. I really want y'all to get into Blue Apron, like here in the studio, so we could really go back and forth on how good this shit is, because it's good.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
It's good. I had some, I had some pork, but you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I don't even eat
pork like that. Like, I'm not a guy that's like, oh, I like just pork. Like, mm-hmm. I'm typically a pepperoni cat, bacon, whatever, like that type of thing. But they had like a pork loin. And the way that they put it together with, you know, it was amazing. Right. You feel like a bit of an Iron Chef when you fuck with Blue Apron. And it's one of those things, because it's always, you know, I don't mind cooking. I don't like dishes, but I don't mind cooking, right? And I like to cook something that's cool. I go get the recipes, but there's always seems to be that moment in the middle of the cooking. You're like, fuck, I forgot that, you know, I forgot that ingredient. Right. Blue Apron, everything's prepackaged down to the portion size. You don't have to think about anything. All you got to be able to do is read and put things. You don't even have to measure. Right. Read, boom, season, keep going, and then you have an impressive meal at the end of your Blue Apron experience.
The only thing that I haven't used it is because I have to ask a question.
What's the question?
Of, you know what I'm saying, what happens when your family is bigger than four? Because they package, you know what I'm saying, on the thing it says four.
Right.
So I had to work that part out.
Because,
you know, I got five, which really means I probably need six.
Right.
You know, I got a teenager who eat a lot.
No, I hear you. Blue Apron, let us know. But I want you to check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/conversation. If you put in conversation, you're going to get a hell of a discount. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/conversation. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Vlad, what are we talking?
The question is, were there white people at the museum? At the Black Museum?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it was a young white kid with a Make America Great Again hat on. I was like, dang.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I was like, God. And everybody was cool. It wasn't no flare up. It was all good. It was what it was. It's DC.
Word.
DC's interested too because I grew up distrusting the government, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not distrusting the government, but you grew up in a way where it was like, be wary of the government. When I was growing up, it was always politicians and lawyers. They're known for lying, whatever, whatever. That was just kind of part of the zeitgeist or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But DC, one, it's a black ass city, right? But two, it's a lot of black people that are in government there, mm-hmm. right? And I've never, like, it's a different relationship to government than anywhere else in the country. So it's a specific type of environment. You know what I mean? It's almost like you don't know who you could talk about shit with.
But they'll let you know real quick. If fuck with their security clearance.
Yeah.
Fade on you.
You don't want to say no crazy shit. If you got a fire stick, don't tell nobody from D.C. I think Trump petty enough to put you in jail for a fire stick.
Hey.
Anyway, what's up with you, Muhammad?
Actually, Damon, sorry, I have one more question. Sorry, go ahead. Did you buy anything from the gift shop? And if no, was there a hint of guilt?
No, I did buy something. I bought two T-shirts from the gift shop.
Fight the
he
pop? Said
he asked me, nah, just the African American joint. They had no fight.
They
the
had
pop.
Like the crew neck T-shirt of the month.
Outside. Again, it's a little ancillary market. It wasn't as many people as I thought.
Right.
I think as people start, like when the weather break,
right.
I think it's gonna be it's gonna be a little bizarre out there.
Yeah, and they probably know when the weekends is that people come. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Martin Luther King weekend. I'm sure.
I mean, come on.
I'm sure.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Black History Month. That whole February.
Was crazy. Cracking. They probably taking a little rest right now, getting ready for the spring.
Maybe. Interesting. Interesting strategy. Yeah. No, I did buy some shit. Go ahead.
Yeah, but why did you buy it? Because you genuinely liked them, or you were like, damn, I gotta contribute somehow.
No, I actually bought something. It was a combination of both. It was like I liked it. I like what's going on here. I want to support this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Also, what was the question? Like, do I genuinely like it? Yeah, I genuinely liked it. Oh, and I felt like, you know what? Any little bit that I could give to this, I'm with it. You know right. what I mean? I'll give a couple dollars back. And my man had the discount. And I'm going to be honest. That also helped out, too. So shout out to Cam once again.
MVP.
You know what I mean? And then I was in Poughkeepsie last Saturday with my man Chris Lambert. That was fun. Shout out to Poughkeepsie.
Shout out to Chris.
We out here working. Yeah, Chris Lambert, past guest of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, yeah. Muhammad, man.
Yeah, man, shit. I was in Brooklyn, man. I thought I was going to have a chilly, chill weekend because it was a real stress-filled week last week. So, I was just going to chill this right. weekend. And then, you know, I was going to have my contract to come through and skim a plaster because it got a little rough and, you know, got a little patches that was loose and falling. And so, you know, it's going to have him come through and do a little simple plaster skim job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that shit don't never work out like
what
that.
What does that mean?
Well, in old houses where, you know, pre-drywall, you know, everything is plaster.
Right.
So they, you know, they put a coat in the plaster. And over time, it gets old. Sometimes it cracks as the house settles, gets loose. You know, the house 100 years old. So, you know, a skim is when they come and take, you know, the rough parts off and then they do a coat of plaster on top to smooth it all out.
Oh,
all right. So, you know, that's what I thought I was going to do, you know, patch up the little spots that are already loose and falling and, you know, just skim the rest, make it all even and nice, you know what I mean?
Something easy.
Yeah, something, you know, something I planned to do for a minute. And then, you know, he come through, you know, I have him, he starts, you know what I'm saying? I'm in there working and shit.
Same cat from back in the day, oh, yeah. Jamaican
most,
cat?
Yeah, most definitely. yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Sam, Samantha Construction.
Right.
So, you know, I'm in there working and shit. And this banging is going on for too long. I'm like, they should have gotten those little pieces off by now.
Right.
Man, I go out there, man, all the whole, everything down, all that shit off the wall, off the walls, off the ceiling, all that shit. So I'm like, yo, I thought this was a skim job, man. He was like, yo, come here. And then he took me to a spot and, you know, he hit it with a hammer where, you know, you got to clear it out. And then all of it just started falling. Okay. So, you know, it's loose. It was coming loose from the wall. Right. So it needed, he was like, I could put a skim on it because when you put the wet plaster on, it'll right. make it fall anyway.
Buckle.
So. Here we go, all weekend and damn dust storm and, you know what I mean, it was just way more complicated of a job than what I thought I was dealing with. So my weekend was, you know, I chilled,
right?
But it was a dusty chill. It was a noise filled chill. It was work.
Drywall beach.
Drywall beach. I'm in here ashing right now with drywall on me.
Let me ask you a question. It's funny that you I like because it's funny how you did that because. Contractors and supers, they're good for, come here, let me show you something.
Right.
Rather than, because my question is, you walked in to discover that shit had been way further than you expected.
Exactly.
Did you feel a moment where, yo, my man, you could have showed me that prior to?
No doubt. I mean,
it was a moot point, but just like courtesy wise, so you don't shock the shit out of you.
At this point, I'm actually almost going off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Yo, this is, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo. But, you know, he showed me. And in my heart of hearts, I already knew he was right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I already knew a skim wasn't what I was supposed to be getting, but I wanted to just get a skim to get through this shit, get my wife off my back, you know what I'm saying? My mother-in-law coming to town, you know what I'm saying? Have shit just nice for her.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking about the future. All right. But you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I was kind of glad that he went ahead and did it because I wouldn't have made that call on my own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't charging me extra, so okay. You know what I'm saying? Hey, so, you know, fuck it. You know what I mean? We here now. You know, the walls are going up, going back up now. So they were there today. I almost didn't make it here. So the walls are going back up now. And it's looking good. You know, still dusty than the motherfucker, but it's looking good.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean? So I was doing that. But after the work hours, I caught up on that Dave Chappelle special and shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Check that out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You saw both?
Yeah, I watched both of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, what you guys think about it?
I like them shits. Yeah. I got to watch them again. But I liked them a lot. I don't even know which one I like more. You know, I watched them out of order. I watched the Texas one, and then I watched the L.A. one second. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, It was dope. It wasn't much that I had seen before, and I'd seen him out a lot, like working material.
So you had seen it before?
Seen him perform, yeah. I'd seen him do an hour, like, a couple times.
Not the same content.
Some of the OJ stuff I'd seen, but pretty much everything else was some shit that I had never seen, which shows how prolific this motherfucker is.
Right, right, right.
And then just, I don't know if you caught this, Vlad. I'm sure you caught this shit. And you probably caught this shit, too. That motherfucker looked so at ease doing the shit. That motherfucker's posture was so relaxed. His delivery system was so languid. You know what I mean? It was chill as fuck.
He was back.
He was in the pocket.
Right, right, right.
But I thought the shit was funny, man. I thought he killed it, man. It's good to see. I wanna watch it again so I could, like, you know, do the, you know, my breakdown shit and, like, really follow the jokes, see these tags. Because it was so much shit like that. The ending of the first one, the L.A. one, how he, I don't want to fuck it up for nobody, but how he tagged it with the premise, with that, he tagged that joke with, you know, the whole Cosby situation at the very end.
OJ too.
How he, but, OJ too, but how he pulled that whole Cosby shit, that threaded that shit, I didn't even see that shit coming.
Right.
And as a comedian, you typically see some shit, I was like, oh, he killed that. Like it was, so now I want to watch it back to see how he was dropping, you know, crumbs throughout. It was ill. What you think, Vlad?
I thought it was excellent, man. I think the callbacks were... There's something about Chappelle where, as relaxed as he is, you still get a sense that you still feel like he's performing, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's comments that are relaxed, and it's like you watch it for a couple minutes, and you're like, all right, man, you going to turn this up or what, you know?
Right.
But Chappelle relaxed is like he's still performing, though. Like, you know, he does the voices. He'll do, like, minimal act-outs. Right. He'll laugh at his own jokes. He'll take a puff of the cigarette occasionally. Like, he just has a way of being chill, but yet he's still kind of activated, if that's a word for it.
Yeah.
Like, he's present. He's not, these don't feel like jokes. He's really coming to his own, man. Like, you know, he always has, but he's really, like,
yeah.
It's really great to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
See, y'all are comedians, you know what I'm saying? And y'all do a certain kind of comedy, you know what I'm saying? That's a little different than, you know, your everyday comedy. Because when I'm watching it, because y'all breaking it down in a way that I didn't watch it like that. You know what I'm saying? I enjoyed it. It was funny to me.
Right.
But I didn't watch it with scientific precision.
Comedian eyes. It's like how you watch films.
Right. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. So when I watched it, at first it was kind of the way he delivers the punchline or the joke is not, you know what I'm saying, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not straight ahead. You gotta roll with him. Sometimes it don't really come right then where you think it should come. And then he'll bring it back later. And then you're like, oh shit, that's the punchline for that joke over there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to orientate myself on, you know what I'm saying, just watching it in that style.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm gonna have to go back and watch it again to look at it with comedian eyes, which I don't have, but I'm adopting some right now through listening to y'all break it down. So I'm gonna check it out again. I enjoyed both of them, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, it's just the structure of it was a little different than, you know what I'm saying, just maybe a Chris Rock or, you know what I'm saying, any or your hood comedian that's just come out and tell jokes.
Yeah,
you
know he got his own delivery. His way is so, like, it's meandering oftentimes, but it's not, it isn't, to Vlad's point, it isn't, like, he don't, he know how to turn up the end. He knows how to perform. He knows how to, he and it's so many different things. Like, you know, just little shit that he was doing, you know, like, it, we get all into it, but it was, and I can't cite specifically, but just little turns of phrases. He's one of the best at that. Little ways that he's explaining something. It'll be a needlessly long description for something that you could just say this one thing. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's needlessly long and he'll do it repeatedly, it creates like a title for it. Like I can't give a Chappelle show. I can't give a Chappelle example, but I've been in a club recently and like Kevin Hart's working on some new stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And he's talking about like a baby. He calls the baby the great baby. I don't want to fuck up his whole shit, but mm-hmm. just the great baby. Anytime he talks about that baby, like it's just little hooks that as a comic, just like I'm sure when you watch a when you watch movies, sometimes I'd be like, yo, did you see that? You'd be like, yeah, I saw that. They shot it. It was a little blown out and all of that shit. Like I would never, I don't even know what that really means, but there's certain things that I catch watching it because just as much as it's entertainment, it's almost like a clinic too because this motherfucker's a 20-year vet. He destroyed them shits. It's great.
Right. You heard that him and Chris Rock performed together?
Yeah, they've been doing that a little bit.
Yeah, in New Orleans, yeah.
How does that work? When I've never seen comedians perform together. How does that work?
It depends on how formal it is. I typically... Like, you'll see that a lot, like, at the Cellar. Like, comics bring each other up on stage. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of turns into just them talking shit. You know what I mean? Like, they both funny, but it's like N1 now. Okay. It ain't, like, we're not playing with league rules. I'm going to show you a little hand. I might throw you an alley. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, but it's, like, real conversational. But they, you know, it's just two motherfuckers with great comedic timing so they can make anything funny. Okay. You know? And it's the fact that you're seeing Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle on the same stage that's going to blow you away a bit, too.
But I heard that. I just couldn't wrap my mind. I'm like, how does that work?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I know how somebody come open up or, right. you know what I'm saying, surprise guests.
In sequential order.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But how does it work when you got Chris Rock doing right. Chris Rock and then Dave Chappelle doing Dave Chappelle
right.
at the same time?
Yeah. It's crazy.
And then I heard they were all placed together for about 90 minutes.
Yeah, I won't be surprised. You know, you see it. You see it a lot. Dave Attell does a lot of that. Like, he'll bring up, like, Big J Okerson, and they'll be on there. And it's just, like, it's a lot of, oftentimes, it's a lot of banter. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, Chappelle, there was that infamous time when Chappelle was up there with Chappelle, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, I think Marlon Wayne, or Sean Wayans. Like, it was this big picture that you're seeing with everybody just coming up on stage. You know, at that point, it's just like, it's a podcast. You know what I mean? Niggas talking shit.
Right.
You know? But it's two of the illest.
Right. You know? Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so I spent some time with Chappelle this weekend and shit, you know what I'm saying, doing that, man.
Speaking of...
In the midst of a dust storm.
Oh, right, the dust storm. Speaking of Netflix, I saw this movie. You heard this movie called Burning Sands?
Yeah. I haven't... I caught the first 20 minutes of it.
Okay.
But my son, he watched it, and I was excited because he watched it and was excited about it.
Right.
And he didn't tell me, but he went and told my wife. He was like, Mom, you need to watch this.
Right.
It's good.
Right.
And right. I was like, okay. You know, because he's in 11th grade. He probably, you know, that's about the same time I saw School Days.
Right.
So to see that, you know what I'm saying, it was affecting him. He was in his head. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Even though he didn't tell me, he told his mama.
Yeah. Now it was good. It was for that, even for that point too. I was thinking like, it felt like, and I've been saying, you ain't seen no like black college movies in a minute, and anything right. circling like the black college experience. This was before The Quad came out on right. BET, but I was just like, wow, it's been a minute.
Wasn't that movie with a Higher Learning?
Well, that was in the 90s. That was in the 90s. That was when Busta Rhymes.
Recently.
So what about Dear White People?
Dear White People
But that was on a white college campus.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a black college campus movie.
It's been Drumline. Drumline, Stomp the Yard. Probably was like the last one. There was a Drumline sequel.
Right.
I mean, it's probably been a couple, but it hasn't been like, you know, like school days was a big moment.
A defining one.
A defining one, right? And this shit was good. Shout out to Aaron Arnold, because the only reason I knew about it was Aaron Arnold, he's actually Greek, but he wrote something for the Undefeated, right? He wrote something for the Undefeated, and I was like, all right, well, let me go ahead and check this thing out. You know, this is, you know, it's a black movie. It's well shot. It's some it's the cat from Moonlight is in the movie. One of the cats from the new it's like the new crop of stars.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was a good movie. I wasn't mad at it. It was pretty cool. It was interesting. I want to talk to some people that are Greek about what they thought. I gotta ask my people that pledge what they thought about the movie, because you know that's their whole thing. That's another layer to the conversation.
Yeah, because the other conversation is are these movies and shows airing the dirty laundry of these organizations and shit like that.
Right.
But you know, in this age, man, if you do it, it might get told.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It might get shot. It might get you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's transparency era.
Yeah. It's content.
Yeah.
It's called Burning Sands.
It's called Burning
Sands, Crossing the Burning Sands.
Yeah.
So
put that on the queue.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited that conversation is back in the mix.
Yeah.
And in the quad. Shout out to Rob Hardy. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Fan you, Rattler. Aaron Arnold is too.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Got this, you know, this black college content up. I think that's cool because, you know, especially in this era, the Trump era. You know, that conversation is very relevant. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I got a son going to college soon, hopefully. Knock on wood, cross your fingers and all that. But it's like, you know, when you start putting schools on the list and then you start seeing, okay, you know what I'm saying? If you go to a white school, you know what I mean? I don't really want this particular kid to go to a white school where, you know what I'm saying, it's more right-leaning, more conservative, more Trumpians, you know what I'm saying, running the yard, you know what I'm saying? Because then you under that culture of these are the people that are kind of rolling with you through your little bridge into adulthood.
Defining moments, you know formative years.
Your formative years, you know what I'm saying? The people that's running the place is, you know, part of the people that's kind of like pushing you off to the side. So, you know, all these conversations exist. So it's like, you know, the black college experience coming into the conversation because it's like, you know, okay, shit, that's relevant, goddamn.
Yeah.
You know? So
it always is. But it's definitely you need that shit is almost like a lifeline right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not that you can't go, but if you're gonna go to a white school, you wanna go to a white school with, you know what I'm saying, the good white people that, you know what I'm saying? That kind of you know what I'm saying?
I want to meet the white folks here.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, the good white people that match up, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, it's kind of like we talked about this on the show before.
Yeah.
When you leave out of New York, it's different.
You don't know.
You come across different kind of white people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You come across them here in New York, but, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of different.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. No, it's an interesting thing because being on the road, like we saw about, that's like an anxiety. Like it's one of the things you thinking about. Yo, I hope it ain't no Trump shit out here. I hope it ain't no wild shit. I hope these, you know what I mean? Hope these white folks is cool, right? I hope it's some black people around there so I don't feel like the only black motherfucker. But what I've been thinking, obviously, you can't negate that there's a lot of motherfuckers that are wilding, that are charged by this whole administration and feel like they're empowered or activated, as Vlad would say, right? Well, part of me is kind of, I don't want to marginalize it because that shit is there. I mean, we just seen the cat in Baltimore stab the dude in Times Square, which is fucking crazy. But I think it's almost like I give the benefit of the doubt. Like, I lead with love. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk. Like, I put out the energy that I want back.
Right.
You know what I mean? And because I found myself, like, in Kentucky in particular. I was in Lexington. I was profiling white folks. I was profiling white people in Nashville and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just white people that I look like, some white folks that I might have seen at a Trump rally, I'm mm-hmm. like, you look like you might not be fucking with black people, right? Mm-hmm. But it's almost reminiscent of how, like, if you got a hoodie on or some shit like that, white folks might be like, you look like one of those blacks I've seen on the, you know what yeah, I mean?
No doubt.
So it's kind of like, I try not to submit to fear of the unknown or even the propaganda that they putting out there, because, and I don't want to dismiss this propaganda because shit is going on, but my thing is, I'm trying to lead with the energy that I expect, right? And then when it's some bullshit, we'll deal with it in that moment. But rather than expecting the bullshit, because sometimes when you expect the bullshit, it make your spirit a little heavy.
Right.
Because you already acting as if you've contended with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's been one of them things. I'm still kind of negotiating that as I'm out in the world.
I get that. I understand that. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, if you... We're going to take University of Alabama off the list, okay? If you're you're a gentrifying white person coming to a black neighborhood.
They're taking Brownsville off the list.
They're going to take Brownsville off the list.
Like, that's too concentrated.
Like, you know, it's some pioneers that's going to go.
Right.
And just, you know what I'm saying, deal with what, you know, whatever it is, and they'd probably be all right.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, who wants to be all the way pioneering some shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, especially when
you're
supposed
to be in college, enjoy
especially
life.
When you could be chilling, having a ball and being free with your 4 years of freedom.
I choose struggle.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I on that level, that's a little much. That's you a know, little much. I'm just saying, like, just go to the world. Like, just, you know, when you gotta go. Anyway, because that's what
yeah, you
go
you're gonna
your
go. The world is gonna be the world.
And the world
are gonna be you.
And the world reminds you, it's the world, Bob. Right. It's the world. It's damn near similar to where you just came from. It might be a little different, but mm-hmm. we chilling. Like right. it ain't. You know, it's. I don't want to say it's never as bad as it looks, because sometimes it is, but. Don't give in to fear, because the narrative now in America. On both sides, and for a while has been leveraging fear for some type of gain. You know what I mean?
Right.
And don't buy into too much of that.
Nah,
you know,
no
be aware, but don't be scared.
Yeah, we you know what I'm saying? We ain't never pushing fear at all.
Do that.
You know what I mean? You step wherever you're gonna go, you're gonna step and be you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And bring that light, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We talked about that, you know what I mean? We talked about that here. Just bring that light, just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
Line you said, Damon? Beware, but don't be scared. What'd you say?
I think that's what I said. Be aware, but don't be scared.
By the end of this podcast, we're going to be able to string all these things together and make a great Teddy Pendergrass, Curtis Mayfield song.
Make a song. Shit.
I choose struggle, but I don't choose fear.
Talk, Teddy!
Oh, yeah,
shit,
man.
What else is going on with me? Yo, I've been listening to Questlove Supreme on Pandora.
Oh, his playlist or show?
It's a show. It's a weekly show.
And it's on Pandora?
It's on Pandora.
Pandora sounds so old now.
I guess. Because, I mean, even the way they do it is kind of old. It's very old, like radio, but it's dope. They got the show. It's one show. It's a three-hour show, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little longer than 3 hours, but they have extensive fucking interviews with one guest for the whole 3 hours. And, you know, they play records throughout. But what happens is a new one comes up every Wednesday and it's on for like a week. Then it's, you can't even get it no more than another new one. It's like very old school radio. Right. You know what I mean? And
so you can't get it no more.
You can't really get it no more. Like it's. You could listen while it's up for that week, but they don't archive it anywhere. You
so
know what I mean?
Avant-garde.
Yeah, it's some different shit.
Quest.
It's very old school radio. It's very make it appointment listening type shit.
It's recorded, press record on your tape.
If you could do that, but it's good. It's good. It's some good ass interviews. The
like
Chris
Rock shit was good.
Solange was really good. Cute, like all, damn near all of them are good because they long ass interviews and they. And you know,
so
Questlove,
you chilling with them.
You
like
chilling
a
3 hour
podcast.
It's like
with music,
right? And it more often than not, he has a rapport with these people.
Right.
So he can ask them more familiar questions and they could recall stories that, man, yo, tell that story you told me about that. It's right. like a lot of right. that. Right. You know what I mean? That's and yeah, it's good. It's good. It's been some good ones.
Pandora free?
I mean, yeah, Pandora's free. There's the free with the you get the commercials. Trial? No, oh, you get commercials.
Okay.
I ain't mad at a commercial.
Nah.
Fuck, you know what I mean? Just remind me that I ain't paying nothing.
And hey, come on, Wednesdays?
Wednesdays.
All right. Shout out to Questlove.
Yeah, shout out to Questlove, the whole squad over there. Shout out to my man Fonte. He over there on that on the show too.
No doubt.
It's a good look. Oh man. What's up with you, Vlad? What else is going on, man?
I'm excited about this Friday, man. I'm going to be at a in Boston performing at the National Student Dominican Conference. They're going to bring me out there. Somebody there with, you know, my Dominican people. Going to be an interesting crowd because, you know, we get hyped. So it's going to be, I'm looking forward to that, man. It's going to be fun. What else is going on?
You've been on a Dominican tour recently. Yeah, you've been hitting all of the big man, Dominican events.
The baseball game.
Dominican circuit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm on the tour.
Vladimir Camayo, noted Dominican.
I gave you a shout out in my head this morning, but this afternoon I had a total Dominican lunch. You know what I'm saying?
From where?
I made it. You know what I mean? My daughter, she like black beans and rice. You know what I'm saying? So always like if I come up short on any dinner ideas, I know she'll love that. So
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, throw the rice in the rice cooker and then pop a can of them Goya black bean soup. And so I was warming that shit up for lunch, and then I put on a espresso, you know what I'm saying, that Cuban coffee espresso. I was like, man, I feel real Dominican right now. I feel like
hilarious.
I'm in an M. Tony Peralta piece right now.
Gave the shout out in your head.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, Vlad be proud.
And at some point, I got to have my mom cook for you.
No doubt.
Your mom's going to cook like
make
that?
You a, oh, my mom is a G.
Yeah. What's your favorite dish you make?
My mother makes stewed chicken very good.
Uh-huh.
The stewed chicken's official. She also makes a sancocho. Sancocho is a traditional Dominican stew.
Uh-huh.
And you got basically different starches. You have cassava. You have plantains. You also have different meats. You have some beef in there, some chicken, some neck bones.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a real, like, working class, throw everything in the pot mm-hmm. kind of dish.
Let me ask you this. If you take us to your mama house to eat dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we eat dinner, you know what I'm saying? And then she invite us back. And then you in L.A. And then me and D just be going back to your mama house to eat dinner. How'd you feel about that?
Oh, that's cool. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
How should he feel?
I don't know, because he be on the West Coast stunting on us sometimes, like the weather. And we be over here like, yeah, them neck bones and the, you know what I mean?
Oh, you mean we have one up on
you have one up on
but them. You ain't had no home cooking, though.
Bet you ain't had your mama's cooking.
Snapchatting from the kitchen. Like, ow, son culture.
I'm with your mama.
Man, you done made it fucked up.
But that's how motherfuckers do. I was over there at your mama house.
Your mama said, call me. Call. Yeah, that's such a loaded tell your mom to say hello.
Nah, not in that manner.
But the whole shit is loaded, though. There's no at your house, and you know where to be seen.
Yeah.
But you know that be happening.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when people are hospitable, that happens like that.
Well, how many times somebody got to come to your house for them to be able to go to the refrigerator without asking? List is that? Because
that's not even how many times. It's what type of person. Like, you know what I'm saying? What's the, again, it's back to the respect level
right.
of who it is you're talking about.
Right.
Now, I'm going to show you some interesting shit. Now, we got friends who come over that, you know what I'm saying, that we love, and that's like, okay, whatever. Fridge. You know what I'm saying? But then my wife got a cousin that came over there.
Uh-huh.
This is motherfucking her cousin. Who, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? They not close, but you know right. what I'm saying? They family.
Uh-huh.
And this motherfucker came over there, uh-huh. and
I love it.
This
love
is
that.
How he ain't that close with this motherfucker.
Hey, this
I love
motherfucker.
It. I love it. I love
first
it. I love
time,
it.
First time he came over, you know, it was like a reintroduction type of come over.
He's on probation.
You know what I'm saying? They just getting back connected. Right, then I don't even know the
right.
motherfucker.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He goes and open the refrigerator the first time.
Cuz. y'all
needless
got?
To say, that motherfucker ain't been back. He'll hit that shit will get she'll ignore the shit out of that motherfucker.
Who put the kibosh
then hit, she did. Oh, okay. Then he'll hit me and I'll be like, if she ain't answering, I ain't answering. But you know what I'm saying? It was disrespectful. It was very much too familiar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He gonna grab it. Then he had something slick to say about what was in there. Then he ate, and then he took a nap. Like you can't take a nap on your reintroduction visit.
You
know what I'm saying? You get tired, you get gone. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You don't do that.
This is cursory. This is the real. We not really for real cousins just yet.
Just yet. You know what I'm saying? You gotta play your role for a second, man.
That's funny, man.
But you know what I'm saying?
That's great, man.
But then
great.
Again, it's friends that, you know what I'm saying? You come over to the crib, you could go get a beer out the refrigerator or something.
I appreciate that. You know what I mean? I appreciate that.
Can't go cook no shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
That's taking liberties. You ain't got no saucepans in here,
man. Hold on.
Chef up this blue apron.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You got a blue apron box. You got the blue apron box. Come through. Or does somebody come through to your house with their own blue apron box? Like, yeah. Let's get it.
Like, yeah, what's wrong with your stove?
Let's get it. Oh, shit.
No, but the thing is, too, you got to show respect, too, man. Like, I love people in my family, but, like, wash your shit after you use it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, if you come to my house and you you cook some stuff or whatever, like, if my brother come over, you know, he has carte blanche, you know what I mean?
That's your brother.
But it's like, even then, I'm like, yo, you're going to at least wash the dish, you
Absolutely.
Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, show some courtesy. Don't be up in there just using stuff and not cleaning it up.
Yeah.
And bring some shit. For example, like, if my brother stayed on the couch,
mm-hmm.
my expectation is that when he's done, he fix the couch back up, you know what I mean?
Right,
when he goes
right.
out for the day.
Right, right.
Don't just leave the sheets all over the place.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You got to have expectations. Like you got to lay some groundwork. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's your brother, though. He might eat liable to do whatever. Y'all might have to end
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he gets away
might have
it.
To fight.
You might have to rumble a little bit. Motherfucker, I ain't your little brother no more.
No more.
We got to fight for some understanding. That was what this fight was about.
You know what I'm saying?
That's my guy.
Y'all shared a room?
Oh, we shared a room growing up, yeah. He might take the old
rules. You know what I'm saying? He might mistake life for the old rules.
Older brother, you know, try to take over.
Doubt, man. You know, shit. But you know, when you're getting grown, man, you had to one identify these things, and then establish them. Because it's gonna be some shit that come up in your crib that you didn't plan on. Like you might not, you know what I'm saying. You might not have already worked out in your head how you was gonna handle this shit. Because you know what I'm saying. You ain't been grown that long. You know what I mean? Like
it's always the conversation too. Like I love the story about your wife and the cousin because it's like. At a certain point, like, little rankings start to come up. Like, I'm the cousin. And you're like, no, dog, I'm the husband.
Nah, first of all, your cousin don't work if you ain't ranked. If you ain't even ranked
you know
as
mean?
A cousin.
You know
like,
mean?
That shit don't work. You know what I'm saying? That shit don't work, man. Like I said,
I'm daddy around here.
Nobody want to hear they a distant cousin on the podcast.
Listen, man.
Like, damn, I'm a distant cousin?
Listen, man.
Yes!
This shit ain't used. It shit. Hey, man, it's about the relationship. It's about the level of respect.
Wonder.
You know what I'm saying? That goes into all of these things, you know what I mean? So it's you know it gets there, it gets crazy sometimes, you know. It's cousins you might have, like you say, that's close that might come and overstay their welcome or come under false pretenses and it's like, hey, you know what I'm saying? You got to straighten it out. You don't have these things worked out in your mind because you know what I'm saying. This your first time. Somebody come to town. Hey, coming to town. I'm going to be there for, you know, this program and da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? And I'm going to work on my photography. And you're like, oh, that's noble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Ali, well, I'll say this, though. I think the only two people in my life, like, when I do get married,
mm-hmm.
I think the only people in my life that will have carte blanche to anything, and it's a conversation with my wife, will probably be my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. And your wife like, might have something
dad,
to say about that.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. What I'm saying. Though. Like, I think mom... Mom has the ultimate card. My father would do it initially, and then we'd have to have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm. You got to have a conversation before everybody.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
That's
no, but I think mom is kind of like,
Nothing goes unspoken, Pop. Trust me. You had that conversation.
Because when it flip around on your ass, you ain't going to like that shit.
Right. When somebody who is carte blanche that you didn't approve is swinging through your cabinets, and you're like, yo, what the fuck is this? Well, my uncle got carte blanche. My uncle raised me.
He raised me.
Yeah, I never had the conversation. You got to have the conversation.
You got to work. All that shit got to be worked out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like dads definitely need to, but moms, I feel like moms have a little leeway.
Yeah, but then you got, if you got a woman or a wife, that's your lady, and it's her house, and you know what I'm saying? She mama around that bitch.
Right.
She her own mama now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know what I'm saying? Depending on how their relationship is, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, her relationship with your mama.
Different,
you know,
rankings now.
Hey, now, hey. Everybody start from scratch.
Yeah.
And for you, I know what you got to add, you know, tier one.
Number one seed.
Non-negotiable.
On your bracket.
You know what I'm saying? But then, you know what I'm saying, your mama might, you know, come in and be too pushy for your wife or your lady. Mm-hmm. And then it's a conflict.
Mm-hmm. We need a heads up.
I think it's definitely something you got to negotiate. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Because it will come up, especially with my parents. I mean, I know for a fact, my parents, like, you know, I bought, you know, when I go home, I stay with them for weeks on end, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's you. Because,
like,
you
definitely.
That's what I'm saying. You on that just getting grown. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So my dad is under the impression, like, you know, my father said to me, he said, whatever you buy, make sure it has a basement because I'm going to live in there.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And then your lady, your lady might be like, huh? What? We need. That's funny. Then your lady get pregnant, right? And then you got kids, and then in her mind, she worked the basement out as the playroom. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So then now what?
That's a tough question.
Exactly.
It's
real life.
It's a tough call.
It's real life, baby.
That's pop, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but hey, your granddaddy ain't come live on the couch, did he?
I don't know, man. My father didn't pay his dues.
Your father didn't let your granddaddy come live on the couch.
My father definitely paid his dues, though. I say that.
No doubt. He could come visit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. I'm saying, whatever it is, he could probably live there depending on what you and your lady work out.
As long as there's a negotiation, a conversation, that's all I'm saying, because it's a union. It's not, you don't have total veto power no more.
Nah.
It's a conversation.
Nah, you don't want to run a tyrant program.
Yeah. Nah.
Because then that shit come back to haunt you.
Anyway,
you gonna want to?
I'm nervous about this already. I gotta talk to my parent now before I even find somebody.
Yeah, because you're not gonna have all the answers, Sway. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna have none of the answers till you in that shit. You got all this theory, and it's theory until you in it, and then it's a real negotiation.
And the negotiate is it? That's my mom's though. If that ain't the negotiation. You gotta be a little bit more measured.
That's gonna how you're living long.
Fuck that shit. That's my mom's. All right.
And that's how you may feel, but you had to sell that vision through. You know what I mean? You had to. A lot of times, man, you had to massage these relationships. You know what I'm saying? Because it might not be one and one equals two. You know what I mean? You got to massage that shit and make sure that you selling the situation through, even though you may feel like you don't have to.
Right.
Because when it swing back around the other way, you're gonna be like, well, then you ain't asking me. You know what I'm saying? You just gonna let your pops just live in the basement? My pops gonna live in the basement.
It's just consideration.
But my pops got, you know what I'm saying, my pops sick. I want to take care of him. Then you like, but my pops was living in the basement. Then it's you know what I'm saying? Y'all got to come to a peace treaty. Hello?
Yeah, some negotiation has to go down. Yeah, I know.
Hello,
I know.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you there. But you're talking slow now because you got to consider these things.
Yeah, I'm taking notes, actually.
Yeah, man, but the notes ain't going to help. No, this ain't gonna help, man. Because every woman different, every situation different, every relationship different. You know what I'm saying?
Let me go to my fucking my playbook.
You know what I'm saying? That shit is like chemistry, dog. Every ingredient count towards the negotiation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What her relationship with her mama was and is.
Right.
All that shit count, man.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
You know.
Anyway, speaking of conversations. I think we're about to end this one, but let's tell the people where we're going to be. Vlad, where will you be?
I will be in Boston at Babson College on Friday night at the National Student Dominican Conference.
Okay.
And then I will be in Arizona the week of the 14th at the Bronson's Comedy House.
All right, all right. Muhammad, where you at?
Muhammad going to be on the gram at Mr. Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And then on the snap at Thorough TV. And then I'm going to be local. You know what I mean? I got a lot of proposals to get out and a lot of projects to turn in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we on deadlines around here. So I'm in the studio.
Working it out.
Yeah.
All right, that's what's up. I'm going to be local, too. We're going to be filming a new season of Comedy Knockout these next 2 weeks.
What's this, season 4?
Season 3, 2.5 to 3. You know, they okay. do, like, software updates. You know what I mean?
So, employed.
Yeah, out here working. So I'll be out doing that. I might actually be away from the conversation. We'll see. We're going to try to figure that out. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation.
And stay in the conversation.
We out.
Be blessed.
Thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.